All right. Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning into this podcast. My name is Paul Semeron. I am the founder and CEO of Drone Photo NJ. We're an aerial photography company in northern New Jersey. And in this podcast, which is going to be the first of many, I'm going to be discussing ways to start your own aerial photography company. So in this podcast, it's just going to be more of a general layout. But in the next few, I'm going to go into detail about all the topics that I'm going to be talking about today. So there's going to be multiple components to it. Some of these are optional, but I would strongly recommend that you do these, while some are, required to do before you start your own aerial photography company. So to start off, this is the first step. And the required step is getting your FAA Part 107 certification. So essentially what this is, it's a certification that you will have. It's valid for 2 years. And in order to make money with your drones, so, say you go out, take some pictures or videos, whatever it may be, and get money in exchange for this, you need the certification. So essentially how you get the certification is you go to an approved FAA testing facility. Most of the times, it's a flight school in your area. They will have, like a separate computer area where you can take the test. You can find all the approved testing sites on Google. Just look up FAA Part 107 approved testing sites, and there's going to be a list that pops up. So you schedule an appointment. You go to the flight school. You take the test. It's all multiple choice. And you need a 70% or above to pass. You usually get the results right away, but you get actually a card in the mail. Now, that could take almost upwards of 3 months sometimes. When I did it, it took me roughly a month, I would say, in order to get the physical card in the mail. However, right after you take the test and you do pass, they give you a printout. It's just like a temporary certificate. So you are certified with that piece of paper. One important thing that you need to consider is that this test is not cheap. It's $150 every time you want to go and test. So it is really important to study and prepare before you schedule that test. Because, say you fail, you're actually going to have to, pass and go take the test again and pay $150. It's not like you get a free retake. So, make sure you spend, I would recommend, maybe 2 to 3 weeks of studying. There's a lot of material out there, both free and paid. Make sure you study, especially if you don't come from, an aviation background. You don't have any knowledge of, the different airspace classes, how to read, sectional charts, different weather and stuff. So, take your time with it, because, you don't want to spend $150 more than once to take this test. So that's the first step. The FAA Part 107 certification, it is required if you are going to be flying commercially, or getting money for your services. So requirement, that's, there's no way around it, really, unless you're an actual pilot. Commercial pilot flying for airlines and stuff like that, but I'm not going to get into that. But this is a requirement, and if you don't have it, and God forbid you crash into something or someone, or the police question you, they come up to you while you're flying and you don't have it, it might cause some problems. So make sure you have that before starting out. So the next step is figuring out what you want to do when you start your company. There's a lot of industries out there that utilize drones, and you can pick from, so many of them. All industries have their pros and cons. You just have to figure out, what you want to, go after. So for example, my company, we target the real estate industry. So that's where we go and find our clients. We're not in the, aerial surveying industry or, agriculture. We strictly focus on real estate. Now, there's nothing from stopping you, you know, and going to film for, you know, a realtor one day and then a construction company another day and, you know, an agriculture company or whatever it may be. You know, you just have to figure out, you know, what are your capabilities and what are your limits. So you can focus on one industry or you can, you know, be more broad. So you just have to figure that out. And following that, you have to do a market analysis and figure out who your competition is, you know, what are they doing? What are they charging? What are their services that they can provide? And you have to figure out what can you do differently or what can you do better? You know, whether that's, you know, having different packages, you know, for services, you know, maybe it's cheaper, maybe your hours are different, you know, whatever it may be, you have to figure that out. And because you want to stand out, essentially, because especially if you're, you know, for example, we're in northern New Jersey, so we're really close to, obviously, New York, you know, obviously, New Jersey, you know, Boston, Philly, all that, you know, these big cities, and you're bound to have a lot of competitions. You know, if you're in a smaller area, you know, maybe a little more remote area, you might not have as much competition, but definitely, with the more competition, you're going to need to do more work to get those clients. You know, it's a given. So make sure you know who your competition is and what are they doing. And then you have to decide what can you do differently and, you know, get those clients. So the next thing I want to talk about is getting your equipment. So when you're first starting out, depending on how much starting capital you have, it can be different. However, what I would recommend, you know, if you're going into real estate, for example, if you want to go film houses for, you know, realtors, you don't need, you know, a $4,000 cinematic drone, you know, like the DJI Inspire 2. You don't need that. There is many different companies out there that, you know, make drones. DJI, I would say, is the most popular and we use them. And as a starting drone, like I said, for real estate or for, you know, mainly any industry, with a select few that you would need, I would say a more expensive drone, DJI Inspire drones are overkill. Honestly, they are overkill, but they make a DJI Mavic, a Mavic Pro, or the DJI Phantom series. These are really good drones. They're under $1,000. For the most part, and they come with a battery, obviously. The battery lasts for about 25 to 30 minutes, and it's a great tool for real estate, especially because, you know, the Phantom 4 drones, even the Mavic drones, they can film in 4K, 1080p. You don't need a cinematic drone. So you got to figure out how much money you have to spend, because now, say you want to go film multiple houses a day, and you can't really go home or go somewhere to stop and charge your batteries. Well, okay, now you're going to need extra batteries. And batteries are not cheap. They're, I would say, about $160 for the Phantom 4 Pro battery. So you got to figure out, okay, how many batteries can I actually afford? And there's other optional things that you can get, you know, extra propellers. They make these new, like, curved propellers. Apparently, they, you know, are better in the air. But, you know, there's just a lot of different things that you can consider buying. I would definitely recommend definitely a spare battery, one battery at least. So, you know, if your primary battery runs out, you definitely have a spare. Maybe spare propellers, but in the case of DJI, they do give you a second set. So instead you get 8 propellers if you buy a new drone, obviously. If you buy used, I don't know, the previous seller might have used it. But if you buy a new drone, they will come with an extra set of powers, which is always good because, you know, if something happens to one of them, you can always exchange. So definitely having an extra set of batteries would really benefit you, especially when you're filming, you know, multiple houses or you have, you know, multiple clients in that day. Also a portable charger for your car. It's pretty helpful as well. You know, if you're on the go a lot, you could charge up your batteries. And a carrying case. Again, DJI will come with a gray case, and it's perfectly fine. But if you want a more, you know, versatile, you know, backpack type of deal, you could go out and buy one. it's not required, obviously. These things aren't required. But yeah, those are just a few things that you could do to add to your collection. But again, like I said, you don't need these $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 drones when you're first starting out, especially for, you know, real estate or construction or agriculture. You know, if you're doing search and rescue, you know, stuff like that, you might need some extra thermal cameras, but that's a whole different ball game. But when you're first starting out, you really don't need to spend that much money. Next is obviously having a website. I would highly recommend it. You know, some people, they say you don't really need one, but I would definitely recommend to have one because not everybody really has social media. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. Definitely promote yourself on social media. It's essentially free advertising. Yes, you can, you know, pay for, you know, promoted advertisements, but you can always make a free Instagram or a Facebook account or Pinterest or YouTube. You have to be on there because if you're not, you are going to fall behind. You know, again, it's free. So it's, you know, you can go on to, you know, let's do real estate, for example, and you want to gain followers. You go to your local, you know, real estate firm, see if they have an Instagram page, see who they're following, and kind of filter out who you want to follow. Because yes, it might look good if someone comes onto your profile and it shows that you have, you know, 5,000 followers or however that may be. But if those, you know, 85% of those followers are just random people, you know, they're not going to bring you value. So I'd rather have less of a follower count, but have, you know, most of those people as potential clients or, you know, coworkers and stuff like that. So definitely put yourself on social media. That will, you know, bring you much more exposure. And again, it's free. So another way to, you know, get yourself out there when you're first starting out and, you know, when you're continuing to brand yourself is person-to-person contact. Yes, sending an email to hundreds of people through, you know, an email blast system can be easier. However, I would say upwards of 90% of those people will just delete that email. But if you actually, you know, call them or, you know, go to their, you know, office, you know, say for a realtor, you go to their, you know, headquarters or their branch, it's going to be harder for them to, you know, just, you know, turn you away or say no. And plus you'll get to, you know, interact with people. You get to practice your sales pitch, and it's definitely much more effective than, you know, just sending an email. So one thing that I would strongly advise for you to do before, you know, you go out there and you try and find clients is to have samples of your work. Now, obviously when you're first starting out, you don't have any clients, but they don't need to really know that. If, you know, for example, I'm going to bring back the real estate industry. If you know, or you have a friend or a coworker, or even a, you know, a family member, and they have a, you know, fairly decent sized house, you can ask them, hey, can I go over and take some pictures of your house? And, you know, you might pay them a little bit in exchange, you know, it's up to you. But there you go. You have your first sample, you know, photo or video, and make sure it's good because, you know, when you're first starting out, obviously you don't have clients to go out and take pictures of, you know, every day or every other day, whatever it may be. You know, you have to make sure you have a solid base for your samples because 9 times out of 10, I know for myself, when I'm going out and talking to potential clients, they ask, can I see your past work or can I see your samples? And if I don't have any, well, that's going to be a big problem, number one. And if I show them some samples and they're, you know, bad for, you know, whatever reason, you know, either they're poorly edited or, you know, they're too low, they're too high, they're, you know, off balance, whatever it may be, that's going to put a red flag in their mind saying, hey, we might not work with this guy. We might go and search for a different vendor. So really make sure that your work is consistent. And, you know, it's a good quality photo or video because that's going to be the pretty much the determining factor between them going with you or going with your competition. So I would advise when you're going out and meeting clients, you know, at their offices or branches, whatever it may be, to have printouts because, you know, what if, you know, your phone dies or you don't have any internet connection for whatever reason and you can't show them your samples? That's a big problem. So maybe have some printouts of your samples, which is good. So those are just a few things that I would recommend for, you know, your personal branding and just your overall marketing base. There's definitely a lot more things you can do. Again, like the paid ads that you can, you know, set up for yourself, set the parameters and let Instagram or Facebook or whoever publish them. What I found is they're not really effective unless you know what you're doing and you have, you know, certain filters. Because if you just put out a broad ad, okay, you might target, you know, 10% of the people that you actually want. Because, you know, if you go out and just put out a basic ad and the only demographics are, you know, age 25 to 34, male and female, okay, well, that's going to be a lot of people, and 85% of those people don't need your services. So you got to know what you're doing if you want to go out and, you know, do these paid advertisements. But again, there's always going to be a free Instagram account and a free Facebook account. So utilize it to your advantage. So the last thing that I want to talk about real quick is the optional sides of things per se. Insurance. Let's start with insurance. So again, it's optional. You kind of have to figure out for yourself whether your budget can afford it, because it's expensive. And, you know, say you're paying monthly for insurance and you're not getting clients, well, that bill is going to add up real quick and you might not afford it. So you have to figure out, you know, how much can this really cost me and can I really afford it? So liability insurance is great. That's just another thing that you can, you know, tell your clients about, like, hey, yeah, we're certified with the FAA, but look, also we have, you know, $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is, you know, liability insurance policy. So that can help. That's just another thing you can add for your marketing strategy. And it is optional, and you just have to figure out for yourself if you can afford it. Just a second thing is having a secondary drone. So again, you already bought a drone. It was probably upwards of $1,000, if not more, maybe a little less, whatever it may be. You know, a secondary drone. I know some people, they use it as a marketing strategy, like, hey, if one of our drones, you know, breaks down or malfunctions or, you know, doesn't work for whatever reason, we always have a backup. So it's not like we're just going to leave you and not provide you with whatever you requested. So that's just something to think about. But again, that is an expense, and you really have to figure out whether your budget can afford it. So those are just a few things that I personally recommend to think about when you're thinking about starting a aerial photography company. There is a lot of potential in this industry, and it's growing tremendously. There's just so many industries out there that utilize drones. It's not just real estate. It's not just construction. It's not just agriculture. There's tons of them out there. And, you know, like I said, you just got to figure out where you want to start and who you want to target. So I hope that you learned something from this podcast. And like I said, there will be some more podcasts coming, and I'll be discussing the topics that I was talking about today in some more detail. So I hope you tune into those, and I hope to see you on the next podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in.